Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today we're going to talk about honor, and honor is a topic that we don't normally talk about that much in church, but we should, because we live in a world today that does not value honor. Like, we live in a world today that doesn't honor people. We don't go around using that term very often. As a matter of fact, this morning I was telling the core team this. My son Gabriel, my oldest son, he's 10 years old. And how many of y'all have ever, do you remember how you learned cuss words? Anybody remember how you learned cuss words? Like some of y'all learned cuss words from your parents, and some of you learned cuss words from your big brother, big sister. Some of you learned cuss words on the bathroom wall, right? Some of you learned cuss words off of TV. That was my way. I learned cuss words off of TV. And my parents always, my mom always makes fun of me because when I learned the word damn and I started using that as a three-year-old, she told me, she said, son, you can't do that. Like, that's not a word that we say in our house. And she said, but there is another kind of dam. It's called a beaver's dam. And she said, she explained it to me. She said, but if you use it any other way, then that's cussing. And we don't do that in our house. And so as 3 or 4 years old, I understood that. And later on, I was looking at something on TV or a friend of mine, and I said, you know, the word damn again in the wrong context. And my mom said, I said something like going over the damn bridge. And she said, what did you say? And I said, the beaver's dam, Mom, the beaver's dam. So it did not get me out of trouble, though. My son, though, he's 10. He learned recently the F word. And I don't mean like the F word, like, you know how sometimes we say other words. Like, I had kids come up to me before and said, you know, Dad, so-and-so said the S word. And I said, they did. I said, yeah, they said, shut up. I'm not talking about those kind of F words. I'm talking about like the legit F word, like the big four-letter F word. And he learned the four-letter F word. And so we were talking about that. And here's how he learned the F word. He learned the F word because in fourth grade, another student in his class told his teacher, F you, multiple times. And I said, son, how often does this happen? He said, Dad, all the time. All the time. I'm saying that to say this. We live in a society that doesn't understand honor anymore. And it goes beyond yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. Nowadays, we feel like at any age level, we can say what we want. We can do what we want. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. And we've lost this area of honor. And so I want to spend a couple of weeks talking to you guys about honor. What does it mean to honor people? And I want to look at Malachi chapter 1 and then also in chapter 2. Because here's a problem. And this is where all of our honor issues start from right here is in these verses. Malachi 1:6 says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. This is God speaking. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? Then in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, and now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord, I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I just ask, God, that everybody in this room, God, everybody that's listening online, I pray that our hearts would be fertile soil and this word would be a seed, God, that would be planted deep and produce good fruit of honor in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. See, we've gotten away from honoring God, and whenever you don't honor God, when you have no concept of honoring God, then you cannot honor other people the right way. You can't honor anybody if you don't truly honor God. And so that's one of the things we're going to start this out with today, is how do we honor God? Where do we start out this process of honor? And there's a couple of things I want you to know, and it's in your notes if you're taking notes online on your Bible app. It's in there too. But the word honor means to place high value or worth or even wait on something. That something becomes very weighty to you. It becomes very important to you. And so we begin to honor things that have high value. My friend Wes is back in the back today. And in 1 year for Christmas, Wes gave me a box. Now that may not seem like much to anybody in here, right? But to Wes, it was a valuable, it's just a wooden box, but it was valuable to Wes. He put worth on that box. And he had a whole story that went behind this box. And so when he gave it to me, he explained to me the whole story that was behind the box. And he said, I want to give this box to you. So whenever I took the box, because Wes valued the box and Wes used the box to honor me, I took the box and I placed honor and value on that same box. So now I've got the box in my room, right? And that's where I put all of my important stuff. So don't come looking in that box. So to honor something means you value it. You place value on it. But to dishonor something means to take it lightly. To disregard it. To make it seem as though it doesn't carry any weight. Have you ever seen somebody that dishonored something, maybe something you gave them? To you it meant a lot, but whenever you gave it to them, it didn't mean much to them. Right? We talk about honor, and we'll get into this later on. But even the whole idea in relationships, people can honor or dishonor someone in a relationship by taking them lightly, right? By counting them as lesser. And so it's important for you to understand today that, this idea of dishonor, it's not someone slapped you in the face. It's that they just disregarded you as not important. They disregarded something as not important. I try to teach my kids this, but it's really hard sometimes. But I try to teach my children the same idea that, hey, whenever we give you something, whenever you get something from somebody, you need to honor that thing, right? Or whenever you're borrowing somebody else's stuff, you honor that person by taking care of it because it has value. It's weighty. And here's the thing. In our world today, in our society, we get so scared of, ISIS. We get so scared of someone attacking us. We get so scared of the government and what they're going to do. But can I tell you something? What's really going to bring down our society is the fact that we have no honor, that we don't honor God. And when we don't honor God, the Bible says that He's even going to curse our blessings. Like the things that we think are great, the things that we think we're getting as a reward are going to have a curse on them. And so we've got to get back to a place of honor. And I want to look at Mark chapter 6, and I want to show you something. Dishonor, whenever we have dishonor in our life, towards God especially, it will close the doors of access in your spirit. Dishonor will close the doors of access. Dishonor will lock the doors that you need to be walking through for your healing, that you need to be walking through for your breakthrough, that you need to be walking through for that next step in life, for your purpose, for your destiny. As we dishonor people, we begin to close those doors. Mark chapter 6 says this, speaking of Jesus, and he went away from there and came to his hometown. Everybody say hometown. And his disciples followed him, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Look at that for a second. The Bible says that he was dishonored in his hometown. And Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except among his own people. And the Bible says that he could not do. It didn't say he didn't want to do. It didn't say that he didn't do just because he didn't like the people. It said he could not do. He was hindered from doing miracles. He was hindered from changing lives by what? By dishonor. Whenever we dishonor people, we close the door even on God Himself doing a miracle in our life. Dishonor is birthed, we're going to look in the scripture, Let me show you where it's birthed. It's birthed in familiarity. You look there, it says this. It says, is this not the carpenter? Isn't this that guy that used to fix our door? Isn't this the guy that used to come over and fix, you know, fix the house up a little bit? He's just an old carpenter. I know his mama. Isn't this Mary's boy? I know that guy. I went to school with him. He ain't special. Right? I know his brothers. I played football with his brothers. This guy's not special, y'all. And they started saying, we know this guy. He's nobody. They were so familiar with Jesus that all of a sudden, they dishonored him. And we do that sometimes. Sometimes we become so familiar with people that we forget that there should be a level of honor in that relationship. Right? I've seen people do that in jobs. Let's say with a boss. Right? Sometimes we become so familiar with the boss. Maybe a boss is kind. A boss is relational. But we become so familiar with that boss that we just feel like we can walk in their office anytime we want to, say whatever we want to, because that's my boy. He's just Joe the boss. We forget that we still have to honor that person. I've seen people do that in church before, where they don't honor those in authority over them. But we do that with God sometimes. We become so familiar with God that God carries no weight or value anymore. And we feel like we can just do whatever we want. Oh, it's just God. Like, God will forgive me. God will change it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. And we begin to put God into this box called church, and we think that they're synonymous. We think that all of a sudden God is church. So as long as I go to church, I'm good, right? My relationship with God is that I show up. I'm doing Him a favor. We become familiar. We begin to dishonor. We begin to close the door. The other thing that the Bible says is they took offense at Him. They took offense at Him, and that closed the door in their lives. And the idea of taking offense in this context is, I think, really they were jealous. They were selfish. They were prideful. They see Jesus, this boy from their hometown, doing great things, and everybody's looking at him. Well, how is it that this guy gets elevated at my job? How did he get the promotion? How did he get, you know, the right parking spot? I know, he came in after me. I trained him. How is he now getting the promotion over me? Right? And we become offended by somebody because they are blessed and we're jealous, and now we dishonor that person, and now we close the door on anything God wants to do in our life. I see that in kids a lot. I see that in churches a lot. We went to a conference not long, I guess last week or week before last, we went to this conference for pastors and church planters. And you know, you sit there and we're listening to people talk, and every so often you'll talk to somebody and they'll be like, yeah, man, we're really struggling. I'm like, yeah, you are. He's like, yeah, we've been doing church for a whole year and we only have 1,000 people. I'm like, oh, man, you're really struggling. Ooh, ooh. I would hate to have your problems. You know, like, that's tough, brother. You know, and I've seen people that get super jealous. Look, we've got churches. I grew up in a town with a lot of churches, right? And I would see if one church did well, then all of a sudden you would see church people from all around town say, well, they must be doing something wrong. If church is growing, they must be doing something wrong. If the church is doing well, if they got a lot of people, then they're watering down the gospel. You know, they're doing something bad over there. They're serving beer when people walk in. I don't know what they do, but they're doing something bad. Listen, that sounds funny. I remember people saying that about other churches when I was a kid. They're doing something, you know. But when we look in the book of Acts, like, the church grew. And we don't say, oh man, those Christians in the book of Acts, they were full of the Holy Spirit. They must have been doing something wrong. No. We begin to dishonor people because they're better than us. And we get mad and we get jealous. When in reality, we forget, if we would just learn to honor those, then God will open up the door for us to be blessed too. But we can't get that through our jealous eyes. The other thing that happens, and this is not in this verse, but I feel like it's important to say, is that dishonor is also birthed in imitation. Dishonor is also birthed in imitation. If you look statistically right now, if there's domestic abuse in a home, right? So a man treats his wife poorly, and abuses his wife, then the children are like 74% at higher risk of committing violent crimes when they get older, and three times more likely to abuse their spouses. Why? Because they've learned to dishonor by watching someone else dishonor. It's important for you to understand today that honor and dishonor are both learned by imitation. One of the things I love about my wife is every time we're around my children, she honors me. Now, in private, she's really mean to me. But as long as the kids are watching, no, my wife honors me all the time, and she's constantly saying, and I've shared this with you before, I think it's a good thing for you to start doing if you're a spouse, man or woman, but she's constantly saying, like yesterday, she made this terrible bet with my son. I don't know what she was thinking. And she was like, hey, my four-year-old, five-year-old, however old he is, the little one. And she said, hey, if you can do so many bars on the monkey bars, then I will take you to Yogurt Mountain. And she didn't think he was actually going to do it. And then he did it. And then I'm like, thanks a lot. Now we got to go to Yogurt Mountain, right? And I'm trying to do better on eating sugar, like for a few weeks. And then now all of a sudden we got to go to Yogurt Mountain, where I've got to help get yogurt for my son and not eat any myself. I stayed strong. It was hard. And so we go out, and she said, now this is all her idea, but she says, y'all tell Dad thank you for bringing us to Yogurt Mountain. It wasn't my idea. I didn't want to do it. She's the one that came up with the idea, but she honored me as the man of the house. Do you see how that works? And what did the kids do? Thanks, Dad. Why? Because they're learning how to honor through somebody. But whenever you teach dishonor in your home, you know, I go out sometimes, I see these couples, and I've coached Little League ball, and I've been at the gym, different places where I see couples, I see families, and I see these guys sometimes that all they do is talk about how dumb their wife is. Or they talk about how bad their kid is. And I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter, right? But I want to punch them in the face. Because I'm like, you don't understand what you're doing to your wife and to your kids by your words right now of dishonor. Right? And those are the times I wish I had, like, you know, someone big like Wes or Will or Ryan to come with me and teach them a lesson for me, right? And I could just stand back and be like, honor this sucker. Go get him, you know, because I'm not going to do it myself. That would hurt and I don't like pain. So it's important to understand the three ways that dishonor is birthed. It is through familiarity, through offense, and then through imitation. But there's a way that honor is birthed, and really one way that honor is birthed, and that's really through the heart. See, whenever we can talk about dishonor, and that's bad, and we need to not dishonor, but to get to the point where we're honoring people, it's got to come from the heart. See, honor, just in surface level, if all I'm going to do is just actions, that's good, but it can be faked. But true honor comes from the heart. True honor comes from overflow. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus speaking, he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We'll just stop at verse 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Honor comes from the inside. Honor comes from relationship. Honor comes from love for God, and honor comes from what we put into us. The Bible says that whatever you put in, that is what's going to be coming back out. And so the more we ingest, the Bible talks about that I will hide your word in my heart. Why? Because as I hide his word in my heart, now more honor can come out of my life. Honor has to always start in the heart. It doesn't start anywhere else. If honor starts just in mere actions, then those can be faked and those can fail. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, we see a story that where it shows me that honor from the heart is unwavering. When I have honor from the heart, it doesn't easily fail me. right? And I want you to look at something. Let me tell you this story. Let me set you up. There's these three kids, the three Hebrew children, they're called. They're actually probably teenagers or maybe early 20s. And they were taken captive out of Israel. And after they were taken captive, they were forced, in this particular story, they're being forced to worship a foreign god. And so you got this king, he comes up, he builds a statue to himself, and he says, I want everybody, whenever I play the instruments, I want everybody to bow down. And these three kids said, there's no way we're doing that. We're not bowing down to the statue. We're not serving this system. And so whenever they said that, the king gets pretty upset. So let's look in verse 15, about halfway through it says, but if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And now I want to pause there for a second. That word serve there is also translated to honor. So it could be read, if this be so, our God whom we honor is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Look at verse 18. But if not, everybody say, if not. Be it known to you, O king, that we will not honor your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Let me show you something real quick. They said, we know we're facing dire circumstances. We get it. Like, you're about to kill us. You're going to put us in a fiery furnace. But we will not dishonor our God by serving your gods. And we believe that our God will save us. But if not, our honor is unwavering. Our honor comes from the heart. Our honor for God does not come because of what he gives us. It does not come because of our current circumstances. Our honor comes from the heart, and we won't ever waver. I was reading something, you know, on this website, and they were talking about the Holocaust, and they were talking about some of the POWs, and one of them they found inscribed on the wall in his cell, if there is a God, he'll have to beg for my forgiveness. And I thought, I've never been through that, so I can't judge that person to the idea of I've never been through what they went through. But that's a person that when faced with terrible circumstances, wavered. And I'm going to be honest with you. I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to get to the point that even facing the worst circumstances, God, help me to never waver in my honor for you, because my honor comes from my heart. It doesn't come from my head. It doesn't come from some sermon somebody preached. It should come out of a heart of relationship and love. Does that make sense? Let me quickly just give you a couple of ways that we can honor God from our heart. Number one, we honor God through our worship. Matthew 15, 8 and 9, I read this to you earlier. It says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. In other words, he's saying there's some folks, when honor doesn't come from your heart, your worship is just in vain. But when honor comes from your heart, John 4, 24 in the NIV, it says, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. In other words, whenever I come into worship to honor God, I worship him in truth. I worship him in the spirit and in truth. I allow the reality of what's happening in my life to be seen, but then I also worship God and give him praise for everything that happens. That's why it's so important. That's why we start our day at church with worship. Some people say, well, why do you worship God first? Why do y'all sing songs first? Is it just because of tradition? Is it just because that's how we've always done it? No, we do it because we want to establish right off the bat that, God, we honor you, and the first way we honor you is through our worship. We give you everything that we've got today. We lay down all that we have. And whenever you honor somebody through worship, you are placing them in a higher place of authority and value, and you are devaluing yourself. When you worship somebody, you're showing them that I'm lifting you up here and I'm lowering myself down here. That's worship. That's why you'll see sometimes when people worship, They'll get down. They'll get low. They'll kneel. They'll lay. Why? Because they are positioning themselves lower than God. They're positioning their problems lower than God. When we worship, we honor God. We worship with truth. Listen, your worship has nothing to do with whether or not you raise your hands, you jump up and down, or you clap off beat. If it was all about clapping off beat, we'd be really good at worshiping in this church. It's not about that. That was bad. I'm sorry. I just dishonored you. Don't worry, I dishonor myself. That's why when I clap like this. Nobody can hear me, you know, because I know I'm off. So we worship God. And when we worship God, that's whenever we honor God. Another way we honor God is through obedience. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I'm telling you to do?" Have you ever tried to tell somebody to do something? Have you ever tried to give them instructions and they give you that, "Oh, okay, fine," right? Or they just kind of blow you off completely? If you're the parent of a teenager or you've ever had to work with teenagers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, because every time you tell someone what to do, it's like, "I don't care." I've got this kid that I work with at the school sometimes when I substitute at Perry School. And that's his thing. That's his thing is I'm like, "Dude, you got to get some work done. Like, we got to get through these math problems." "I don't care." Like, okay, no, I get it. But we got to get this. Like, this is what's happening right now. Let me just tell you how to do this. "I don't care." And I'm like, "Okay, so God, right now, I just pray that I don't murder this child." And so it's really hard because, like, some people just, they blow you off on instructions, right? And whenever someone ignores the instructions and then eventually they try to do it anyway, whatever it is you're asking them to do, then what happens? They get it all wrong and they mess everything up. Now, guys, this is not the same as when you do that on purpose so your wife doesn't ever ask you to do that thing again. That's a different thing altogether, okay? That is one of our ploys. Women, y'all think we're just dumb men, but really, we heard what you said. We just don't always want to load the dishwasher. So that's why we mess it up, and then you don't ever ask us to do it again. We dishonor people by ignoring their instructions or their directions. We honor them by obeying. We honor them by obeying. And so we honor God by obeying. The third thing is we honor God through our generosity. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And notice, I'm going to say generosity. I'm not going to say giving, okay? Because in our church, that's one of the things that we really try to draw a line between is there's a difference between being generous and giving a lot of money. There are people that can give a lot of money that aren't necessarily generous. And there are people that don't give much money at all and are very, I mean, like, don't have very much money. They're super poor and they can be super stingy, right? Like, it's all different. We want to have generous hearts, whether that's our money or that's our time or that's our talent. Whatever it is that God wants to do through us, we want to be generous. And look at this. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord, how? With your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. In other words, what the Bible's telling us there is if we learn to honor God with our wealth, if we learn to honor God with our first fruits, right, that's tithing, if we learn to honor God with our generosity, then what's going to happen? Then He's going to fill us up. If we honor Him with generosity, we get blessed. It doesn't make any sense. If we're blessing other people, we're the ones getting blessed. Ryan shared earlier, he said the verse that talked about you honor the Lord, you honor the Maker by blessing the needy. And so there's something about whenever we become generous people that honors God. And I wonder if it's not because God looks at that and says, "Wow, they're imitating me. I gave my son. I gave everything I had. And now my children are imitating me by giving of themselves, by giving of what they've worked so hard for, by giving of their talents or their time." And I think that honors God, right? Whenever we imitate Him. The last thing that happens today, and this is where I want to close out, I've got a verse here from the NCV Bible, the New Century Version. We won't have it on the screen, but if you've got it on your phone, you'll have it on your, if you're looking at this on the YouVersion app, then you'll have it. But it's in Isaiah chapter 58, and it's a little chunk of reading, but I want to read this to you today. Because here's the last thing. The reward of honor, The reward of honor is an abundant life. And if you want to take notes today, you can write this down. An honorable life leads to an abundant life. An honorable life leads to an abundant life. Look at this. Verse 3. We've got this problem. The people are trying to honor God, so they say, in lip service only. Now that verse that Jesus quoted earlier, when Jesus said that about they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, came from this same book, Isaiah, right? And so this is a problem that has been happening over the years. And it says this in verse 3, they say, to honor you, we had special days when we fasted, but you didn't see it. We humbled ourselves to honor you, but you didn't notice. So in other words, they're saying, God, we tried all this special stuff. We tried to fast, you weren't paying any attention. We tried to, you know, do these other things, and you're not listening to us. But the Lord says, do what pleases yourself on these special days and are unfair to your workers. On these special days when you fast, you argue and fight and hit each other with your fist. You cannot do these things as you do now and believe your prayers are heard in heaven. In other words, what he's saying is, yeah, you keep talking about honoring me, but you're not honoring each other. You dishonor each other, but say you're honoring me. I can't listen to that. This kind of special day is not what I want. This is not the way I want people to be sorry for what they've done. I don't want people just to bow their heads like a plant and wear rough cloth and lie in ashes to show their sadness. This is what you do on your special days when you fast, but do you think this is what the Lord wants? I will tell you the kind of fast I want. This is talking about how to honor God here. Free the people you have put in prison unfairly and undo their chains. Free those to whom you are unfair and stop their hard labor. Share your food with the hungry and bring poor, homeless people into your own homes. When you see someone who has no clothes, give him yours and don't refuse to help your own relatives. Listen to the reward here in verse 8. Then your light will shine like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your God will walk before you, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call out to the Lord, and He will answer. You will cry out, and He will say, "I am here. I am." If you stop making trouble for others, in other words, if you stop dishonoring people, if you stop using cruel words and pointing your finger at others, if you feed those who are hungry and take care of the needs of those who are troubled, then your light will shine in the darkness, and you will be bright like the sun at noon. Listen to verse 11. This is it. This is my final thing right here. I just want to tell you this. The Lord will always lead you. He will satisfy your needs in dry lands and give strength to your bones. You will be like a garden that has much water, like a spring that never runs dry. The Bible says here that if we learn to honor God, and if we honor God in a way that flows out of our heart, in other words, it's not just about lip service. It's not just about showing off. It's about action. It's about honoring people. It's about loving each other. It's about setting people free. If we learn to honor God by being obedient, by worshiping from the heart, if we learn to honor God by being generous to the poor and the needy, the Bible says that you will be like a spring, that He will take care of you in the dry times. How many of you know we're facing some dry times? The economy's not great. Right? Like you look at your 401k and it looks like a 301k, right? Like it's just going down and it's bad. But God says, you learn to honor, live a life of honor, and I'll take care of you in the dry times. I'll bless you. I'll be with you. And I love the part there where it says, I will guard you from behind. I will lead you and protect you. I don't know about you this morning, but that's what I want. That's my prayer today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.